It is so exciting to be launching a dance book, and not only just a dance book, but this particular dance book. I grew up in Perth in Western Australia, and my only real connection with dance or ballet at that time was apart from my RAD classes, which I did religiously once or twice a week, that became many more times a week as I got a little older, but also thumbing through dance books. And I must say, this book is a long and far cry from Princess Tina, which was my my resource of growing up. I was sort of post the Baron books at the ballet, and I was a little bit before Angelina Ballerina, a little bit after Angelina Ballerina. In my time, it was Princess Tina, and Princess Tina had fantastic photographs of Rudolf Nureyev and Margot Fonteyn, and I remember this very, very young girl whose name was Jackie Tallis. And Jackie Tallis used to do the five positions of the feet and the five positions of the arm in her RAD, Royal Ballet School uniform. And that was pretty much all I got to know about ballet until the David Formby book came out, which my parents very luckily bought for me, which was the book of the Australian Ballet. And from then on, I actually realised, and it wasn't just the Australian Ballet, it was Australian Ballet. It was a photographic book that David Formby took over a period of time in the 70s, which showed productions from all of the companies at that time, including the Australian Ballet. And all of a sudden, a whole new world was opened up to me about dance in Australia. Now, I must say, I do only fit into the years of Australia dancers in the last 2 years of this book. So I'm reading this thinking I was probably about 6 months when that happened, or I was only about two when that happened. But what a fantastically exciting era and period of dance in Australia. Obviously, post the visits of the Ballet Russe in the 1930s and 40s, which we've actually just finished a four-year program about, which was a fascinating period of our dance history and really set us on the path to developing the dance culture we have in Australia by the visits of those extraordinary people. This book completely fills in the picture from their visits through to the next rounds, of course, which was the incredible development of national arts institutions, which of course happened in the 50s and 60s, a lot to do with government setting up the Elizabethan Theatre Trust. But what I got from this book, and I've got to say, I was very lucky to receive an advance copy. Thank you, Alan. It sat on next to my bed for a little bit of time because I'd usually get home from the performance and go, I think I'll start that tomorrow, as I sort of snored quite heavily. But when I started reading it, I absolutely couldn't put this book down because it was a story to me not only of incredible detail, magnificent research and incredible love that goes into every single page and some of the most gorgeous pictures that you could ever find. And that to me, of course, as a remedial reader in grade three, was a very big part of getting through reading. When I was about 10 years old, walking into a place like this would have been like prison. But thanks to the nuns, they finally got me through my remedial reading course. And but having the glorious illustrations to illustrate the story all the way through was just so divine. But to me, it was an absolute testimony to the incredible passion and dedication of so many of the people that we stand on in the dance community today, and not literally stand on, but we stand on the work that they did to celebrate and to set up and to keep that passion alive without a professional company. And, you know, as you read through these pages, there were many, many, many professional companies. And sadly, at the end of each of the paragraphs, when you're going, my goodness, that was so fantastic, unfortunately, the company collapsed through financial situations. And all of these people were doing this without, you know, an arts council, without, you know, federal funding, the fantastic state funding that we get for all the arts institutions today. it was through sheer determination, passion, and love for the art form, and that to me is what comes out so extraordinarily in this book. The other thing that I loved reading, and not only in the ballet sections, which of course you know everyone expects because we all had our ballet teachers who were the great. Great women of Australia, you know, disseminating this beautiful art form to a whole lot of rowdy kids, some of them who were desperate to be there, some of them who were desperate not to be there. Great women who really set that foundation for ballet. But so fascinatingly, in the contemporary dance section too, extraordinary women, the dedication and inspiration and vision of these women who started these organisations at a time in a very male-dominated society, and I think you know persevered through extraordinary difficulties to make you know the art form come to life for all of the audiences, and who you know really did spread the word. There's this gorgeous picture in my home state. I love the fact that there's a state bit for everyone in Western Australia. The ballet caravan with dancers at the front of this caravan with the, you know, the ballet caravan written on the side. And that's, to me, you know, the pioneering spirit that actually has led now to this extraordinary dance culture that we have in Australia, and really in very small amounts of time. So I hope you've all bought a book, and I'm sure you will have. But before I officially launch the book and also introduce Alan, I think Alan Brissenden is one of the great treasures of our community, not only here in South Australia, of course, which he has been such a pillar of devotion to the arts and for us specifically the ballet. He is such a man of incredible integrity and incredible passion for what he does. He is one of the best reviewers that we've ever had for dance in Australia. And I must say that every time we come to South Australia, you always know, because Alan tells it like it is, that if it's a good review, it's deserved, and if it's a bad review, it's probably even more deserved. But having said that, he always is so incredibly supportive of the artists, the art, and this is a testimony to his great love for dance and for helping us to discover this very potent and vital time in our dance history. So I feel very proud to be able to launch this book today and to introduce, well, actually, I don't think I am introducing, I think Catherine is again, but to say what a great honour it is for me to be asked to do this, and what a great addition to this magnificent library that this book will make, not only in the next coming weeks and in all of our libraries at home, because I'm sure you'll all take it home with you, but it is a great addition to the great catalogue of writing about dance in Australia, and may there be many, many more years of Alan writing about dance. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David. And now I would like to introduce the man himself, Alan Brissenden, who has worked so hard and long on this incredible book. And I'll talk later about how you can get a copy of the book, but without further ado, I'd like to introduce Alan Brissenden. Thank you.
Well, quite un... <Excuse me. coughs> I'm afraid what David was saying has made me feel a bit emotional, as they say these days. Thank you very much, David. That was very kind of you. And thank you, Catherine, for introducing me. And thank you all for coming. I make no apologies for reading this, because if I hadn't, I'd have gone on for too long. Well, thank you all for coming to the launch of Australia Dancers. And especially those of you who've travelled, I believe there's some people here from interstate. Is there anyone here from Western Australia? Yes. Yes, who came today from Western Australia. Right. Thank you. Well, now there's a very special significance for me I see the difference. Right. Yeah, okay. a special significance for me in acknowledging that this ceremony is taking place on the traditional land of the Kaurna people. My co-author Keith Glennon became interested in Aboriginal dance and was a founder and the first manager of Aborigines Woomera, which is now the Mornington Island Dancers, a company that since 1973 has toured widely internationally and throughout Australia, and it's been to Adelaide several times. It was here, I think, two WAM Adelaides ago. Keith was accepted by the Lardil people of Mornington Island as family and given the name Wakathulin, which means whirly wind, because I'm told he stirred things up. I thought that was a bit ironic, actually, because he was one of the most laid-back friends I've ever had. Well, from 1977, his assistant and tour manager was his godson, Peter Cleary. And when Keith died in 1983, Peter took over as manager. Now, Peter's now a regional arts officer with Arts Queensland, and he flew down from Cairns specially this morning to be here. So welcome, Peter. He's sitting over there. And thank you so much for being with us this evening. Now, some of you may be wondering how it is that this book, which is so beautifully designed by Liz Nicholson and sumptuously produced by Wakefield Press, is only being published now, when Keith died in 1983. Well, and I ask the forbearance of those who know something of the story already, we wrote the book together during the late 1950s, when all this was happening, when so much was happening to dance in this country. Well, that was the reason we wrote it. There were hardly any other books about dance at that time in Australia. When I left for England in 1960, I had a contract in my pocket that was to be published in 1961. But a recession rolled in that year, and so it wasn't published. When I came back and joined the English department here at Adelaide University, we brought it up to date, but no one was very interested. However, the materials that had been gathered, principally by Keith, who travelled around Australia, mainly hitchhiking, as you'll hear, were stored in a garage, which most fortunately was watertight. When he died, his brothers, James and Stephen, arranged for them to come here to the Barsmith Library. There are 22 archival boxes. We wrote a lot of letters to each other in those days. No email. And also several large folders for drawings and costume designs. Now, it was my intention to have a look at all when I retired in 1994, but other things came along, as they do, until a friend said, well, if you don't do it, nobody else will. Well, that jolted me into getting on with it. So I revised the manuscript, had great fun and quite a bit of agonising in choosing the photographs, because there's probably over 1,000 photographs altogether. And, of course, the other illustrations and what you're seeing here tonight is only a small part of them. And I realised when I was going through it, we had a real treasure trove, and so here it is in the Barsmith. And it's been used, and some of the things have been borrowed for exhibitions elsewhere, so it's getting rather well known. Well, many people have thanked on the acknowledgement page of the book, but some are also going to get a very special thank you from me now as well. First of all, my wonderful wife, Wibby, who's also known as Elizabeth. She's my severest critic, of course, and my most loving and appreciative audience. Thank you, darling. Then there's a group of people without whose generosity publication would have been very difficult. Meg Denton, a great encourager, whose photograph is in the book. And it was in the Advertiser too last Saturday. She was Margaret Abbey, and she was a dancer. Sadly, she didn't live to see the book's publication. Then there's James Fairfax, Diana Ramsey, who's sitting with us tonight, Susie Rankin, Georgita Vanden, who's also together with us tonight. I'm very grateful to Catherine Ellis Flint, not only for being MC, but also to her and other friends of ours for assisting with the catering. Catherine, as you've heard, is president of the Friends of the Australian Ballet here in South Australia. And that organisation has really been wonderfully supportive over the years, together with AusDance, the Australian Dance Council. My thanks as well to Angela Tolley, Lara Francis, Julia Bevan and the rest of the Wakefield team, who are doing so much to ensure that you have an enjoyable time here tonight. Paul Wilkins, who's hiding behind a pillar, or he was a moment ago, and helped me with the microphone, is the university's deputy librarian, and he's been extremely helpful, and I'm very grateful to the university for allowing us to hold this launch in this magnificent reading room, one of Australia's most beautiful spaces. Well, and you've almost certainly noticed that the celebratory wine we're drinking is from the Fox Creek Winery in McLaren Vale. So thank you, Fox Creek. And there is cause for celebration, not just because the book is now here with us. We can celebrate the wonderful vitality and variety of Australian dance today. When Keith and I began collecting material and writing, there were no permanent professional dance companies in this country. There are now three major classical companies, led, of course, by the Australian Ballet, one of the top 10 companies in the world. You know, a lot of people don't realise that, but it really is wonderful. It goes overseas and wins prizes, and so do our dancers. There's government support for a wide variety of dance groups, from the Mornington Island Dancers to Bangarra Dance Theatre, from the oldest contemporary dance company, Adelaide's Australian Dance Theatre, which was established in 1965, to Melbourne's Chunky Move, from Dance North in Townsville to Taz Dance in Hobart, Strut in Perth, Trax in the Northern Territory, and that's just a few of them. Our book records one school, Fort Street Girls High School in Sydney, with some dance on the curriculum. There were no tertiary dance courses at all in those days. How glad I am to be able to say that the situation is so vastly different today, with dance available in dozens of secondary schools across the country and at least 10 tertiary institutions. Television, of course, has done much to raise the profile of dance in general, but classical dance particularly still has a way to go to be accepted as the marvellous, passion-arousing experience it can be. Dancers have to be superb elite athletes, but how many people really know that? The money lavished on sports ground, you know, what about this Adelaide Oval, you know, all the millions and millions and millions? And, well, if it comes about. And sportsmen and women, of course, the money that's lavished on them. You know, compare that with what's allotted to dance or the arts in general. I remember when Danila Radojevic, who is now the Associate Director of the Australian Ballet, won the gold medal at the Moscow Olympic, the Moscow International Dance Competition in 1977, with a piece which had been choreographed especially for him called Superboy Comes to Class, which had premiered here in the Scott Theatre in Adelaide in 1976. Well, Danny was just 19 at the time, and when he returned home, there was virtually no media coverage at all. Not until he furiously exclaimed that the Moscow International was the Olympics of the dance world, and if he'd won a medal in the Sporting Olympics, he would have been all over the papers. Well, his outburst did grab a bit of attention. Well, there's been some change in media attitude to dance, but not a great deal. And I think it's up to us to tell other people just what dancers really do, what they achieve, how Australians are found in companies worldwide, more than a few of them principals, like Leanne Benjamin and Stephen McRae of the Royal Ballet, and how important dance is to the health of our society. Now, Keith felt very strongly about the place of dance in the community, and I think this is one of the things which attracted him to Aboriginal life. He speaks about this in the oral history interview he recorded for the National Library in 1976, which anyone interested can access, as they could also access those that I've made. He gives a great account of how he set off on his travels, how he collaborated in those early days, and his discovery of the importance of Aboriginal life to his life. He tells how Owen Clayton, who'd published one of the very few books on Australian dance, Pioneering Ballet in Australia, which is about Helene Kirsever and her company, in 1956, how Owen had suggested it was time for another book. And Keith had the conception of a book that would record and present and honour what everybody had been trying to do in the dance world in Australia. And now I'm going to quote at some length from that oral history interview. He goes on, "So I said, that was the kind of thing I would like to do if I did it at all. And Owen said, well, that'd be a hell of a mess, putting it all in together. He really just wanted something that would sell. However, he said, well, if you'd like to try it and it's successful, I'll either publish it or I'll help you to get someone to publish it. I approached a friend I'd made at the university who was writing ballet criticism for the Sydney Morning Herald by this time. When I first knew him, he was writing it for Honisoir, the university paper. The friend, as it happens, was me. And I was by now in the second year of my arts degree. Well, Keith goes on. I asked him, that is me, if he would like to collaborate with me, because being a critic, he had to see so much more that I had not seen, so he said yes. I didn't have much money. I wrote a lot of letters to the few organisations I'd heard of in other states, and they said, yes, do come and see us. I felt you had to go and see the people. This was a very important part of our brief to ourselves, really. You had to go and see as much as you could, and talk to people and get their programmes and so on. Research on the ground, you might say. Well, I got a bag together, he goes on. I got my first ride from Clovelly, which was his home, out to the crossroads at Liverpool. I stood on the road with a sign saying, Melbourne. I felt a goat after a while and thought maybe none of those cars were going to Melbourne because they could just take me part of the way. And gradually I did hitchhike my way to Melbourne. I struck a mine of information down there of what had been done with the Victorian Ballet Guild, the National Ballet. I saw Madame Borovansky and so many others. I went on to Adelaide by hitchhiking. I was then out of money. I wrote to my grandmother's sister in England, who'd always sent us money for Christmas, and I had the impression that she had to have money, so I sent her a letter asking her for £50 so that I could take the train across the Nullarbor Plain. I was a bit scared of taking the Nullarbor Plain in case I got stuck and perished. She sent the money, and I went over by train and researched Perth, trained back to Adelaide, hitchhiked back to Melbourne, and by this time I had so much valuable material in old photographs and programs and designs, I felt I couldn't risk it all but to the road, so I took the train back to Sydney. I hitchhiked then to Brisbane, and then I came back to Sydney, and then came the whole business of sitting down with Alan at weekends. He was by now away from Sydney teaching at Newcastle, I think. In fact, it was in Cessnock, which is sort of not very far. But I'd go down every weekend, and we would sit in a smallish room in a smallish house with the whole family around as well, and we'd be typing and writing and talking. Well, Keith goes on, he would come down every weekend, and we'd sit down together and work on all this material, and indeed we did, and I'd add to what I had uncovered to what Keith had already done. Well, it was a big job. We surveyed the whole scene, all the classical ballet and all the modern ballet, and the touring organisations, the examining organisations, the Stedfords, and we got it done in about six months and took it into Owen Clayton, who was very impressed with it, but said, oh, it's far too big for me to be able to finance this publication. Now, I greatly valued U.S. Smith as a publisher of art books, so Mervyn Horton, one of the directors, was the one who looked it over, and he immediately accepted it, but then said, I'll have to wait until we have the money to do it. So it was deferred from one year to the next for some years, and eventually, 1960, they said they were ready. By that time, of course, a great revision job had to be done. Alan was at the university in Adelaide, and we could only communicate by letter, although I can remember a few lengthy phone calls. It went on until eventually there was this massive book of 100,000 words, some hundreds of photographs and illustrations, and then, of course, came the 1961 recession. Well, then, the Aboriginal group came along, and I found in them so much more of all that I was interested in, all that I was about in life, all brought together in this magnificent connection with nature, the bringing together of all the arts into your daily life, integrated with your life, your arts as a natural expression of all that you are experiencing, and also a much wider kind of mentality, taking in so much of the psychic and spiritual forces of the world as a natural course of events. The arts and the crafts all interrelated with this, that my whole life sort of seemed to be more fulfilled by this kind of approach of the arts being linked in with the ordinary everyday life and the great world of nature. It all had more sense to me than the arts as we practice them. Not that I wish to put that down at all, because I have the greatest respect and feeling for our artists, but they do tend to have to live separately in a way from the rest of our community life. I have a great feeling for all that our artists have done, and in doing the book, we were able to bring all this together for the first time, the modern dance movement and the classical ballet movement in Australia were at loggerheads when we first began and wouldn't even recognise the other. There is a certain insularity in artistic groups. Many had no idea of what was happening in another state. In doing this book, we brought it all together as a great family. This is one of the important things about the book. It creates not just a record, but a presentation of what everyone has done and shows how everything is linked in and every individual has played a certain part in the development of the artistic culture of Australia. Also, in the book, of course, I've included what I knew of the Aboriginals. And as we are meeting artists and educationists and people connected with culture and commerce too in our daily work now, I feel that somehow we are just connecting this great Aboriginal culture in with the European Australian culture. Well, now, I've included that extract, and a rather long one, from the transcript of Keith's oral history, so that he has a real presence here on this occasion. I feel sure he would be just as thrilled as I am with the final result of all our labours. And as Shakespeare's fellow playwright John Webster wrote, I can say of my late friend and co-author, integrity of life is fame's best friend, which nobly, beyond death, shall crown the end. Well, now, I invite you to take a look at some of the photos and designs reproduced in the book, which the Barsmith Special Collections librarian Cheryl Hosking and her assistant Gilbert Rowe have so kindly arranged, and to enjoy the rest of this marvellous occasion. And again, thank you, David, for launching Australia Dances in such style. Thank you.